All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 for the message this morning. Luke chapter 9. I want to speak to you from a familiar passage of Scripture. I have preached from this passage of Scripture several times through the years, referred to it many, many times through the years. But I want to show you something that I saw this last week as I was reading the chapter, basically for my own edification. And I saw something in verse 32 that I had not really thought of before, and I want to share it with you this morning. So we'll begin reading in verse 28, and you know the story here. The Lord Jesus takes the inner circle of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and goes up on the mountain apart from the others to pray. And when he did, he was transfigured. We had the transfiguration take place. And so let's read it, and you'll see what happened. In verse 28, it says, "And it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias." Now, who's Elias? Well, that's Elijah. Now, think about that. These two old Hebrew Hall of Fame members showed up and talked with Jesus. Well, what did they talk about? Well, look at verse 31. "Who appeared in glory and spake," in other words, Moses and Elijah were talking to Jesus, "of his decease," of his death, "that should be accomplished in Jerusalem." Now, he hadn't died yet, but they knew that the reason he came was to die. And so they showed up on the mount, and he was transfigured. All the glory that is his came upon him. His garments were radiating the glory. His face was radiating the glory. Elijah and Moses are standing there. Can you imagine that scene? Are you getting a little picture of it in your head? All right, but look at the next verse. It says, "But." That's always a problem, isn't it? Here's all this glory. Here's all this splendor. Here's all this majesty. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. They were sound asleep. All this glory's going on, and they're sleeping. I can't imagine that. That hit me like a ton of bricks. I sat up. I said, "What? How many times have I read this? How many times have I preached from this passage of Scripture?" And yet did not really see that point until just actually last week was when I completed the message. Amazing. But Peter and they that were with him, verse 32, were heavy with sleep. Now watch this. "And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, 'Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias,' not knowing what he said." After he woke up, he realized, wow, this is awesome. Lord, it's good for us to be here. Well, I think so. Let's just build three tents and camp out and stay up here a while. This is great. But Luke said he didn't know what he was saying. That couldn't happen. Verse 34, while he thus spake, there came a cloud. If you think it was good to that point, while he was talking about building some tents and staying camping out up on the mountain for a while, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." That's amazing, isn't it? Can you imagine hearing audibly the voice of God speak? Peter, James, and John heard it. Verse 36, and when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. In other words, Moses and Elijah were gone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days. They certainly talked about it afterward. And told no man in those days any of the things which they had seen. Now I want you to go back to verse 32. And I want you to notice that while all this was going on the mountain, Peter, James, and John were asleep. Amazing. And I want to speak to you this morning on when they were awake. When they were awake. It says that they woke up and they saw his glory. When they woke up, they saw his glory. All right, let's pray together. Our Father, I pray that you will bless us this morning as we look at this 32nd verse. And I pray that you'll help us to spiritually wake up so that we can see your glory. Help us, Lord, to realize the message, the point of the message. And may it stir our hearts. And may it rouse us to activity, to get busy serving and doing what we're supposed to be doing for your honor and glory. So, Father, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak. But, Father, I pray you'll help our folks as they listen and just use the message to make a difference in our hearts and in our lives. In Jesus' name, we ask it, and amen. As I told you a moment ago, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, I was reading this passage of Scripture just for my own edification. I wasn't sermon hunting. I was just reading the Bible for my own personal devotions. And when I read that verse, I thought, wow, how strange is it that Peter, James, and John could so easily fall asleep with all that happened upon the Mount of the Transfiguration? I mean, you would think that with what happened up there on that day, that there would be no way in the world those three guys could fall asleep. The glory of heaven was radiating out of the Lord Jesus, like the sunshine pouring itself irresistibly out of a cloud. And then, not in any kind of ghostly fashion, this was not just some spooky apparition that Peter, James, and John saw, but in a true reality, standing beside the Lord Jesus were two great Hebrew heroes, Moses and Elijah. These two men had been dead for centuries, but all of a sudden they showed up and were standing with the Lord Jesus, talking with him about the cross that was coming up in the near future. Now let me just ask you a question. Do you think that you would have fallen asleep with this scene happening right in front of your eyes? Do you think that you would have fallen asleep? Well, Peter, James, and John did. But the good news is, they woke up. They didn't stay asleep through the whole, they didn't miss everything. That's kind of my point. You with me on that? All right, now they did fall asleep, but they didn't miss everything. They woke up. Thank the Lord, they woke up. And when they woke up, they were startled to see what was there. They came to themselves and they realized where they were. And once they were fully awake, look at that 32nd verse. Luke tells us that once they woke up, they saw His glory. Now, let's take the story and let's just apply it a little bit. Can you now see the penalty, spiritually speaking, can you now see the penalty of sleeping your life away? I remember when I was about 15 or 16 years old, I would come home from school and get something to eat and flop on the couch. Bang, I was asleep. And then my mom would say, dinner's ready, and I'd get up and eat like a horse and then jump back on the couch. Boom, I was asleep. My mom would wake me up and say, are you going to sleep all night? Yeah, I am. I'd get up, go to bed, and sleep all night. My dad used to come around and say, that boy is going to sleep his life away. Well, that ended when I went to college. But I guess I was having a growing spurt. I don't know. I was only about 2'4" when I was in the 8th grade, so. But I just slept all the time, just wanted to sleep. And my dad used to say, you're going to sleep your life away, boy. You see, you miss so much of what is happening when you're asleep. You just miss it. When you're asleep, you are disconnected from what is going on around you. And I wonder how many of us are living the Christian life asleep. And we are missing so much of what is going on. I mean, just like in our text, folks, the Lord is doing some amazing things in our church. The Lord is doing some amazing things around here. Heaven is stooping down to touch the mountaintop, but how many folks are missing what God is doing because they're spiritually asleep? They're missing the glory of the Lord because for whatever reason, they just spiritually cannot stay awake. And you know, evidently, the Lord, the Holy Spirit, knew that this was going to be a problem for God's people in the church age. And so He led Paul to comment on it. And in Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, Paul said to the church of Rome, in the first century, they had to be reminded. And he said to them in chapter 13 and verse 11, he said, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Folks, you know that the Bible teaches the Lord Jesus is coming again. You know that what the Bible says, I've taught you many times over what the Bible says about the rapture of the church and the tribulation and the second coming. We're here. It's upon us. I have said many times, and I still believe it, I believe we're living on borrowed time right now. There is nothing that prevents the Lord from coming back. That trumpet could sound this afternoon, and if it does, that's fine with me. And so He said, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. I got saved back in 1970, a long time ago. I've been saved a long time. But Paul said that my salvation is nearer than today than it was back in 1970. And that's because the Lord is coming back soon. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, Paul said, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." The truth is, there's a lot going on. The Lord is doing some wonderful things, and yet there is a lot of folks asleep, and they are missing what God is doing. You know, I think America spiritually needs to wake up. I think America needs to wake up. I think the church, the open door, needs to wake up. I mean, we need to wake up to a spiritual awakening and see the glory of the Lord around us. We need to wake up just like the disciples did here. While the disciples were asleep, His glory was radiating, and Moses and Elijah showed up. Two of the Bible's biggest all-stars showed up. They had not seen or heard anything from either one of them for centuries, and now here they were standing right there talking with the glorified Savior, and yet the disciples were asleep. Oh, that sounds just like the church today. I think one of the marks of every great awakening is that it reveals to us unexpected glories. Man, when they woke up, they weren't expected to find what they found. When they woke up, they rubbed the sleep out of their eyes and looked over and saw Moses and Elijah and the glorified Savior. Do you think for a minute that they expected to see that? Oh, no. But they woke up to see unexpected glories. And you see, if we today would just spiritually wake up, we would see things that we have not seen before. We'd see some things we had not seen before. We are stirred in ways, we would be stirred in ways that we have not been stirred before. There are so many glories which we will never see if we're asleep. So my text says, "And when they were awake, they saw His glory." Now let me give you three things this morning. Number one, we will not see the glories of the Bible while we are asleep. Oh, don't misunderstand it. The glories are in the Bible. But what I'm saying is, if we're asleep and not reading our Bible, and by the way, you can't sleep and read your Bible at the same time. Amen. While we are asleep, the glories are in there, but we'll not see them if we're asleep. The Bible is a hidden glory as long as we are spiritually asleep. And folks, we need to realize that within the pages of the Bible, God is given every answer. All of life's questions are answered in the Bible. Problem is, we don't read the Bible. Without doubt, the Bible is the greatest book that has ever been written. It is the greatest because God wrote the book. Oh, we use man to pen the words, but these are not men's words. These are God's words. I had a guy take issue with me several years ago, and he said, "You said that the Bible is God's word." I said, "Yes." He said, "It's not all God's word." And I said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, back in Genesis, it says that the devil said to Eve." So that's not God's word. That's the devil's word. I said, "Sir, let me remind you that you and I would not know what the devil said to Eve if God hadn't told on him. It's all God's word." And he just kind of scratched his head and walked away thinking about that one. Without doubt, this is the greatest book. It is the noblest of all literature. It faces life's toughest questions, and it always offers a way out. It guides us through all of life's tragedies, and it offers hope when nothing else even dares to try. It answers all the questions about life and death and even eternity. But my friend, listen, the Bible is a hidden glory until a man is spiritually awake. And it is only then that it speaks to us as a friend with a friend. When we awaken and then read it, it is then that it reaches us with a message and with a song that no one else can hear. When we awaken from our sleep and read the message of God's love letter, all of a sudden it's like the words were just written specifically for us. Now its glories were there all along, but we don't see them in our slumber. And I'm afraid that most Christians are asleep and they're not reading their Bible. I've said that for years, and people come and they say, I can't believe you don't think Christians read their Bibles. I really don't. You say, Pastor, I do. Well, God bless you. But I think a lot of people don't. If we were in the book like we ought to be and were awake while we were in it and seeing it in its full glory, we would not be knocked down by every little thing that comes along. We would not be offended at every little thing that happens. We would have a renewed enthusiasm and a fire burning within us, and we would not be up and down and in and out. We would be on fire for the Lord and doing something for His glory. You see, once Peter woke up and he saw what was going on and he saw who was there, he said, wow, Lord, this is great. Let's build 3 tabernacles and just stay here. And you know, that would be how we would feel if we would wake up and get in the book and read the book and learn the book. That's exactly how we would feel. And we would see glories that we had never seen before. We would sit down and read a passage of Scripture, and maybe it's one that we've read 100 times, but yet we would read it, and it'd be like we were reading it for the first time. And God could speak to our heart out of it. Notice the glory of the Bible is there. It's always been there. But if we are asleep, it is not revealed to us. When we are asleep, we are unconscious of what is happening around us. And let me tell you something, Christian. You could have been saved years ago, and in all those years, you have learned in church and in Sunday school, you have learned a ton of Bible truth. But spiritually, once you wake up, just like these 3 disciples, you will see the glory that you had never seen before. The glory of the Bible becomes like it was written just for you. And when they were awake, they saw the glory. Second thing I want you to see. Not only will we not see the glories of the Bible if we're asleep, but number 2, we will not see the life of our fellow man if we are asleep. We will not see his needs. We're unconscious if we're asleep. We're not going to be paying attention to what our fellow man needs. I do not need to remind the Church of the Open Door family that there is a whole world outside the walls of this building that needs the Lord Jesus as Savior. I don't need to remind this church that. This has been drilled into you since the church's inception. But how is the world going to hear the gospel that will meet the world's needs if the church is asleep? Let me tell you something. This has been bothering me This has been bothering me for a long time. And I guess it's just a sign of the times. But this has been bothering me for a while. And it's just happened in the last, 8-10 years. But I can remember when I used to get in my car and I would drive to church and I would go past a church in the community and the doors were open and the cars were in the lot and they were having church. Not anymore. Isn't that strange? All of a sudden, just in the last few years, I guess Sunday night, Wednesday night church is not important anymore. And I'll get in the car and start over here and lights are out at this place and lights are out at that place. Then you go by on Wednesday night, the doors are locked up, the building's dark. You know, that's a pretty good indication that folks in there are asleep when the lights are out. Hello? That's a pretty good indication that the folks have fallen asleep. They've lost their purpose. The Lord Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And Paul asked the question. He said, how shall they hear without a preacher? And evidently, years ago, when that church was built, somebody was awake years ago. Somebody was awake then. I mean, there was somebody that had a vision. Somebody saw the need of his fellow man and said, hey, I tell you what, let's build a church and we'll spend some money and we'll get our hands dirty and we'll reach some folks with the gospel and do what we can to keep them out of hell. But over time, I guess somebody, whoever was left, just decided to go sleep. And now nobody gets saved. And letters have to be sent out to send them some money so they can pay the electric bill. Folks are asleep. You see, folks, this is why we have all the ministries that we have in our church. This is why we do what we do. This is why we have the living cross. Man, it's a ton of work. As you can just see, doing all this was a ton of work. Folks spend hours doing this. And then we got the choir practice and then the play practice and then the orchestra has to practice and the sound guys and the lighting guys have to practice. I mean, it's a ton of work. This is why we have Carroll Christian Schools. Now, you talk about a ton of work. I've told Matthew, our administrator, I've told Mr. Iceberg several times, Matt, I would not have one problem if it were not for Carroll Christian Schools. Oh, it's constant. It never stops. I have these preachers call me and they'll say, Brother Belcher, I'm thinking about starting a Christian school here. And I said, no, no, don't do it. Homeschool them. But don't start a school. Well, it'll help our church. No, it won't. Who told you that? It's not going to help your church. Just about everybody that's left here through the years has left because of Carroll Christian Schools and something they didn't like. Most of them. It's nonstop. Now, I'll never get rid of it. Why? Look what it does. Oh, man, is it meeting needs. And we've got missionaries on the field. We got pastors now pastoring churches that graduated from our school. We've got nurses and doctors, you name it, man, we've got it. Military personnel, I mean, up there, military people, state policemen, you name it, man, they're serving God and serving the community. This is why we have the Soul Winners Club. This is why we have the bus ministry. Oh, that costs a fortune. That bus ministry, man, every time you turn around, one of them's broke. They just break every week. There's something. And you got inspections. Used to be, just take it down the road and guy walks out and says, yep, that's good. Hands you a piece of paper. Not anymore. Now it costs a fortune to get them inspected. And they have to take them down there and look at them. Then they have to come up here and look at them. And then the state guy has to look at them. And he walks around and he says, I don't like the way that reflector light looks. You have to get a new reflector light. And then you got to find the stupid reflector light. And you know how hard they are to find? And when you find it, it costs a fortune. And then the screws won't fit. It's nonstop. But we do it. Why? Because people need the Lord. And you see that little bus kid walk down this aisle and make a public profession of his faith. And you watch him walk down in the baptistry and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Is it worth it? Yes. And we'll keep doing it. This is why we have the Good Shepherd's class. Somebody needs to reach those folks. Somebody needs to tell them that Jesus died for them. This is why we have the choir and the orchestra and the youth department and the Sunday school and the missions program and the jail ministry. And that's why these guys go to a dozen nursing homes and retirement facilities throughout the course of every single week. And this is why we have reformers and divorce care and grief share and the food pantry and the moms meeting and everything else that we do. Because people need the Lord. But you got to be awake to do all that stuff. I mean, these things don't staff themselves and they don't happen on their own. No, somebody's got to be awake. And it's because we have been awakened and have seen the glory of our fellow man that we do all these things that we do. We realize that people need Christ as their Savior, and then they need to grow in the Lord once they have been saved. Why do we support all these missionaries that we support? Well, we do so because not only are there people here that have needs, but you go outside of America and outside of Westminster, and there are billions of people that Jesus died for, just like he died for you and me. So we support missionaries. So folks, if we're asleep, we're not going to see the need that our fellow man has. I mean, if we're asleep, we're not going to see any of that. But then number three, we will not see the glory of Christ himself unless we're awake. We'll never see him in his true splendor and glory until we are spiritually wide awake. Folks, now just think about this. Peter, James, and John, when they saw Jesus, he looked like them. Right? He looked like a man. But when they woke up on the mountain, they looked over and they saw him glorified. That's the way I want to see him. I want to see his glory. You're not going to see that asleep. Our world, you know, folks today approach Christianity intellectually. They will see Jesus as a good teacher.
Oh yeah, he was a good teacher.
Oh, he was a man of great wisdom. He was a man who showed us how to get along with one another. That's how men see him today. But let me tell you something, folks. When you awaken out of your sleep and see his glory, oh my. He was a good teacher, and he did show us how to get along with one another. But if that's the only way you see him, you've missed his true glory. It is impossible for a man who is spiritually dead to see his true glory. It's impossible. But when the hour comes when a person is roused from their spiritual slumber and they wipe the sleep out of their eyes and get their bearings and see Jesus as who he is, as the Redeemer, as the God man, as God in the flesh, and see Jesus as the one who left heaven and wrapped himself in human flesh, who went to an old rugged cross and shed his life's blood to pay the penalty that we owe for sin, and that he paid that penalty for us. Man, when you see that, then you've seen the true glory of the Lord. And when I wake up and see that glory, that's when I'm humbled to the place of falling on my face and calling on the name of the Lord to reach down in the mire and lift me out and save me from the hell I deserve. And that's when you see his true glory. So the bottom line, folks, it's just time for some of us to wake up and see the Lord Jesus in his glory. You know, too many people have been looking at Jesus through the prism of church. You're not going to see the glory looking through the prism. Too many people have been looking at Jesus through the prism of some church ordinance or through some denomination. How many people will say, when you ask them if they're sure they're going to heaven, how many people will answer and say, well, I sure hope so. Well, I think everybody hopes they're going. I've never met anybody wanted to go to hell. Have you? I never have. I've yet to have anybody come up to me and say, I'm really kind of looking forward to going to hell, preacher. Now, I've never had anybody tell me that. If you died today, sir, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Well, I hope I would. You hope you would? Yeah, I sure hope I would. Well, if you should die and you were to stand before God and God would say, why should I let you into heaven? What would your answer be? And here's where everybody reaches in their pocket and pulls out the prism and they hold the prism up between them and God. And they say, well, you know, I've been a good person. Well, isn't that funny? Isaiah said that all of your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Your righteousnesses, the good things that you've done, they're like filthy rags in God's sight. Oh, well, I've been a member of the church for as long as I would. Listen, I'm a charter member. You ought to see my Sunday school pen, Lord. I had to quit wearing it because I kept tripping over it. There was a time when I took off half of it and put it over on this side and wore the other half over here. I have been in Sunday school since I was a kid. And again, you're taking the prism, holding it up to God. But you're refracting the light. He said, well, I was baptized. Yeah, and you went in a dry center and you came out a wet center. What good did that do you? I had a fellow tell me, well, I was baptized face forward. What? I had another fellow tell me, oh, I was baptized in running water so it washed my sins away. What? What? Where do you find that in the Bible? Oh, yeah, I was running water. I said, ma'am, wouldn't it be a shame if 5 miles down the river, somebody else went an hour after you and all your sins washed all over them again? What would they do? Again. Won't you just hold the prism up and bend the light. Because that's what you're doing. You need to see Christ in all His glory. You say, Pastor, how do you do that? It's called seeing Him as He's presented in the Bible. Let me read to you what John said. Here's how John, the man in our text, the man who woke up, saw Him, and when he saw Him this time, he saw His glory. You want to know what he said? Here's what he said. In the beginning was the Word. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what John saw. He saw Jesus in all His glory. It's a sad shame that there are so many people that are looking at Jesus through a prism and they're not seeing the full glory. They're looking at Jesus through a church membership certificate somewhere they got in the mail. They're looking at Jesus through a baptistry somewhere or through a card that they filled out or through a card that somebody filled out on their behalf. And instead of seeing Jesus as He is, you're seeing Him through a prism. My dear friend, listen to me. When you wake up from your spiritual slumber and you see the glory of the Savior, you'll be just like John and you'll never be able to get over it. You'll never be able to get over it. John never did. Peter never got over it. You go over and read in Peter's epistles and he talks about the experience he had on this mountain. He talked about it. He never got over what he saw. And you know what? If we just wake up, we'd never get over it either. And I just think it's time for the Church of the Open Door to wake up. The Lord's coming, folks. And we're not ready. And it's time to get ready. Let's wake up. If you're here today and not saved, man, you are not ready. You need to wake up and see His glory. You need to come and put your faith and trust in Christ. And if you're not saved, I hope you'll do that this morning.